Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 368, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Arise, O Lord our God, arise, and enter now into thy rest. O let this house be thy abode forever with thy presence blessed. 1, 2, and 4 of 368. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Proverbs, in the 30th chapter, the first 17 verses. Proverbs 30, in verses 1 through 17. The words of Agur and the son of Jakeh, even the prophecy, the men spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Uchal. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required of thee, and deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things, say not it is enough. The grave, and the barren womb, and the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not it is enough. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-sufficient God of the heavens and of the earth, it is before thee that we do appear in this morning hour in thy house of prayer, before thy countenance. And thou knowest each and every one in the heart that lies within us. It is a day set aside that in a special way we may try to lay before thee all the needs. And Lord, thou knowest what they are. Thou art not ignorant thereof. Even much better than we knowest thou all things. And yet thou wilt be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. And therefore we are gathered before thee. In this morning hour. That we may try to lay before thee the needs and the wants and the cares of this life, for they are many. And there is a season that, if we may be spared by Thee, and now lies before us again, when we are looking forward in a natural way to the earth bringing forth life once again. Lord, then it all is so dependent upon Thy good providence that Thou wilt bestow upon man, upon beast, upon this world. Then we are so dependent again upon Thy long-suffering, that Thou wouldst yet withhold the judgments which are due unto us, and that Thou wilt not bring them upon us as we so justly deserve. Lord, it is our nation that we lay before Thee in a special way in this morning, because we stand in need of food and drink, clothing and shelter, and all the necessities of this life. And then Thou knowest that as a nation and as nations and as peoples, that we have to Thy face provoked Thee days without number, and we have turned our backs unto Thee in regard to Thy holy law. We have no desire for the knowledge of Thy ways, and that is not only our neighbors who come not up unto Thy house of prayer, and our rulers perhaps, but it is also us who come Sabbath after Sabbath day, and also in the weekdays by times to Thy house of prayer, but Thou knowest also our hearts. Oh, then we are cleavers to all the things that Thou bestowest upon us in this world, as if they are the end of all that we do search and seek for here below. And Lord, we are those that with Thy blessings in our hands do turn our backs unto Thee. And it is our ungratefulness that is also before Thee, that of the past season, and that also comes up before our face in this morning, when we again would gather to ask of Thee another blessing for another season, Lord, that Thou may impress upon our hearts what we deserve, and that our hearts in this morning may truly be humbled before Thee to confess all our iniquities, that we have sinned against Thee in thought, in word, and in deed, that we have provoked Thee to anger, and that we have offended our neighbor also perhaps in so many ways, and Thy people, and we have had no regard to Thy callings that Thou bringest to us day by day in a natural way, and also out of Thy holy word. And therefore, Lord, then we lay before Thee our confession. May it not be alone with our mouth, but may it be in a heartfelt way in this morning, because Thou alone knowest that we do not deserve what we ask for in this day. And Lord, then we can only ask of Thee that Thou wouldst again take reasons out of Thyself, out of Thy long-suffering mercies, out of Thy good pleasure, and that Thou may, for the purpose of the extension of Thy kingdom, and for the building up of thy church, that thou mayst still spare us as nations, and that thou mayst still give food and drink in a common way, in order that thy word may still go forth, and that sinners may be converted unto thee. Lord, that is our only hope. It is the only foundation upon which we can beseech thee in this morning hour. Wilt thou give that shame may then cover our faces, and that thou would grant us a true humbling at thy footstool, that we may not dare to approach unto thee as one who has a right to anything, but that we may beseech it out of thy free mercies, and that thou would so remember us when the field shall be again planted with a grain. O Lord, that thou may give the sunshine, and that thou may give the heat, and that thou may give the temperatures, that thou may give the rain upon it, and all that is necessary that it may bring forth once again, and that we may have sufficient to eat and to drink with our children, and that we may continue on yet in this life, and that thou may also have dealings with our souls, that we may not be left to go in our own way, but that thou wouldst do unto us what is necessary in this life, in order that we would not continue on our path upon that broad road that leadeth unto destruction, without thought and without concern and without true repentance. Lord, that thou may yet have dealings with us as a people, as a nation, and that thou may bring us upon our knees before thee. When our abundance in the years that has gone by, and that has not yet humbled our wretched and our proud hearts, Lord, then wilt thou yet work through, and that thou may remember us for the good of our souls, and that thou may give us instruction as thou alone can give it unto us. And Lord, thou hast also promised what we may have sung together, and that thou wilt abundantly provide in thy house, and thou wilt satisfy thy poor with bread. O Lord, we beseech thee also for this blessing in this day, that we may not only hunger in a natural way for the food and drink of this world and for the continuance of our natural life, but that our souls might live, and that we may be given that true hunger and that thirst after that spiritual meat and drink. Lord, this is a life that we also cannot give to one another, as we cannot give to ourselves and our seed a natural life. We cannot give unto ourselves a spiritual life. Oh, then this is thy domain. Lord, wilt thou give a storming of thy throne of grace in the season that lies before us, when the world shall abound with life, when thou wilt give it. All that it may burden our hearts, and that all about us is an abundance of life, and within our soul there is nothing but death, and that so we may be given to go over this world with this burden, and that it may cause us to cry unto thee, O Lord. And thou alone who can give that life and that hunger and that thirst after the true and the living God. Oh, then this is a blessing that must come, and not only out of thy good pleasure, but also out of the work of thine only begotten Son,
And that redemption that He has wrought upon the world in His active and His passive obedience, completing everything that is necessary for the salvation of the soul of Thine elect. Lord, may Thou so remember us then, that also in this place, in this house, life might abound in the season that lies before us. O Thou who art the giver of all life, O that Thou may then come and show Thyself, that in the reign of Thy Holy Spirit may descend upon us, that Thy Spirit may warm our hearts with the Sun of Righteousness, and that we may be given to bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Oh, we read in Thy Word, O Lord, that all nature praises God. But oh, and that crown of Thy creation who has fallen so dead in sins and in trespasses, when He shall be made to live, and then He shall glorify and magnify Thee to all eternity. Lord, we beseech Thee for this blessing in the midst of us, though we are so undeserving thereof. Wilt Thou so remember also Thy children in the season that lies before us? And Thou knowest also their hearts and of all that they must complain. No, not of Thee, but of themselves, that it is often so barren within them, then it seems that it is even of them as Thou sayest of that tree, and no fruit herein forever. Lord, that Thou may look upon Thy children then, in the season that lies before us, that Thy Spirit may revive Thy own work in the midst of the years, and that in wrath Thou might remember mercy, and that Thou may give that the Spirit of the Lord may dwell in the midst of us, and that Thy children may be given exercises again when they are lying upon a bed of slothfulness. Oh, that Thou wouldst come as the blessed Bridegroom, and that Thou would knock again on the door of the heart of Thy bride. Oh, that Thou would leave a little myrrh behind upon the handles of the lock, and that sweet-smelling myrrh by which Thy bride shall rise up again and shall experience once again the drawing of Thy Spirit, and that she may go out after Thee as it was in the first days, in the days of that first love. O Lord, so revive us and look upon us in Thy mercy and upon our whole denomination. Lord, Thou knowest all the matters. Thou knowest all the concerns. Oh, that Thou may look on us in mercy, and that Thou would give that Thy truth may take fast hold among us, that our children, that our young men, that they may be taught also by Thee, and that Thou would raise up converted fathers, converted teachers, converted mothers, converted office bearers, as servants to go before the congregations in the season that lies before us. Oh, that the theological school which has been empty now these years, oh, that we may be so gladdened by Thy deeds, that Thou would send yet men of Thy choosing that are truly wrought upon by Thee, and that they may come because they are not able anymore to forbear, and that Thou would grant liberty, that Thou may give that in the hearts of the curatorium members, and that there may be a oneness, to feel something of the truth of Thy own work. Lord, remember us in mercy, the whole denomination give, and that that which Satan sows among the wheat may be taken out by thee thyself. We are not able to know the hearts, O Lord, and we cannot take the tares from among the wheat, lest we root up them also. But thou knowest, O, that thou may care for us then. Look thou upon all those that are in the battlefields and that are far from their loved ones and that are in danger day by day. And remember them in the season that lies before them also, that thou may provide an abundance of that looking unto thee and that coming, that seeking a refuge under the shadow of thy wings, and that they may experience also an abundance of thy nearness and of thy comforts. Wilt thou spare their lives and bring them home again to their loved ones? And wilt thou look upon our rulers also? Lord, wilt thou give them the fear of thy name within, and that thy spirit may go throughout the ranks of those who make decisions for us, those who are the judges of our land, and that thou would turn back again the decisions which are against thy holy word, and so that we would turn from our sins, and that we would sit in sackcloth and in ashes as it was with that heathen nation, and that we may cry, man and beast, unto God, and that thou would yet have mercy upon us. Lord, help us also this morning. Give us freedom, give us liberty, give us opening in thy word, and give us thy blessing, O, give, and that in the midst of us thy word may go forth from heart to heart, and that there may be a place to receive it. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 7, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. And there is only one collection bag today, which is for our school. On the good and faithful, God has set his love. When they call, he sends them blessings from above. Stand in awe and sin not. Bid your heart be still. Through the silent watches, think upon his will. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 7. congregation, it is our custom at the beginning of each growing season, and that we are gathering together for a prayer day in itself, even when we, in a natural way, would bow our knees, children, then that is an acknowledgement. What does that mean when we bow our knees, when we fold our hands, and then we are acknowledging something, and then we say, we are not able to give ourselves what we need. And then we say, O Lord, how weak I am. O Lord, we need Thee to give to us what we cannot do for ourselves. And thus, even in a natural way, it is pleasing unto the Lord when His creature, when men will acknowledge His dependence upon the Lord. And yet, how often do we not do this in such a formal and a cold manner? Even King Saul, he has offered burnt offering before the Lord, but he did not mean it in his heart. He did not need the Lord, and if the Lord would not answer him, then where will he go? Well, then he will seek to the devil to answer him. And thus, such a coming before the Lord is also an abomination unto Him. We are, congregation, so dependent upon the Lord for everything in this life. We often say to one another that we do not appreciate our blessings until that we have to lose them, till we have to do without them. And this is so true. When we have to do without the rain, then we begin to appreciate such a rainy day. But when there is sufficient and an abundance, well, then man is even cursing God for the blessings that he receives. Thus, because we are so dependent, then it is appropriate that we gather together in such a day as this. And yet, what is now for us the most necessary? Is it that we need only the temporal blessings, or are there other blessings that are standing for us in the foreground? Because man, as long as he has that which can please him, his necessities and the abundance and the blessings of the things for his natural life, then he desires nothing else. And in that case also, our cry to him, our request of him is nothing more than abomination in his sight. We want the blessings from him, but congregation, we do not want to serve him. And thus, what are we going to do now with the blessings that we are asking the Lord to provide to us every day again? The health, the strength, the food, the drink. What is now our intention to do in the coming season with all of this? When we have no thought to love Him, no thought to return to Him, no thought to serve Him, then what does the Lord say? He says, you shall not ask as you do this day to receive your blessings from on high. No, ye ask and receive not, James says, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Is it any wonder that the disciples of the Lord Jesus, they asked the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. then we do not need perhaps to learn the form of prayer, but we need to learn what needs to be the frame of our heart. And with this, we like to consider in this morning the words of our text, which you can find in Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9. Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. So far, the words of our text. The prayer of Agur, first, to be removed far from vanity and lies. Second, to be fed with food convenient. The prayer of Agur, to be removed far from vanity and lies, and to be fed with food convenient. We do not know, congregation, who this Agur is. Some say he was King Solomon. Others say that he is not. We do not read that the Lord shows us this in his word. Therefore, we also do not need to know. We know that the Lord has inspired the writings of his holy word, and therefore it is the Lord himself who is the author. And then we read here in this chapter what is the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Surely, I am more brutish than any man and have not the understanding of a man. Job says that it is alone the Lord who is able to humble the pride of man. And so it is, because man is not able to humble his own pride, and man is not able to bring low the pride either of his neighbor. But now we hear this Agur speaking, and we hear how that he sees, how that he views himself in comparison with every man that is in this world. Then he says, I am more brutish than any man. I am the most brutish of all men, and I do not have understanding. I am more ignorant than all men. Then he does not speak in a false humility. And then he does not speak in a show of piety. No, this is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we read here of what the Lord is doing in the heart of his church. And how is it that the Lord is teaching a person how brutish that he is? Well, if we may compare ourselves to one another, then we can perhaps always find someone that is more brutish than we. But what do we read that the Lord does here? We read that the Lord brings Agur before him, himself, who hath ascended into heaven, or descended, who hath gathered the wind in his fist, who hath bound the waters in a garment, who hath established all the ends of the earth. What is his name and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Thus, here in the world, we are before all men, our neighbors in this world, lifting ourselves up in pride and in sin, also spiritual pride. But what does the Lord do? The Lord is bringing his people before himself, and that they are given to see something of who he is. And congregation, if we are brought to see something of who the Lord is, then we may be certain that our pride will be brought in the dust in one moment. What shall it be? What was it for Israel to stand at Sinai? They did not dare to approach that mount. What shall it be for us to stand in the judgment before a holy and a righteous God? And this is now the instruction that the Lord is giving unto His children by the Holy Spirit already in this world. More ignorant than he says, than a child, I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Two things. Does he not need more children? Does he not need more than just two things? You say, maybe I need more than two things. I need many things. That is true. Agar also, in a natural way, needed more than two things. And yet, the words of Agar have become so few before the face of the Lord. Because it can be that at one time that he has asked for so many things. But when the Lord shows to us the corruption of our heart and where all these requests are coming from, Then that prayer of that church that is becoming shorter and shorter. Because they are so often trying to prescribe unto the Lord just how it should be in my life. And what the Lord should give unto me and what the Lord should not give unto me. And to be ourselves in our pious way as God Himself. Two things have I required of thee. Required. Not, that does not mean he demanded it of the Lord. But it is that he requested of the Lord. That he begs of the Lord. Two things he says, I ask of thee. Deny me them not before I die. What is Agar looking for? Doing, he is looking. He is looking over his whole life. He is looking from this moment until that moment that he has to die. Do we ever do that? Do we ever consider not only today, but take a look for a moment at our whole life? And what is now the fruit of our life? And what is now the purpose of our life? And what is our life bringing forth? Fruit, evil fruit, good fruit. What does he see about his life? He sees his life is short. He says his life that is just as a pilgrim. And he is looking here to the end of his journey. That is profitable for us to do. Also in the beginning of this season, when we are looking forward to a season, that we are looking forward also to the rest of our life. And so we read it also here. That Agar realizes that he is not going to be here on this earth forever. That he is but a pilgrim. That this is not his eternal home. He is here for a time and he is here also for a purpose. And he has therefore an impression. Thus, it is as if he looks over the whole rest of the time that he is here on the earth. And he is asking now himself, what shall they be? The rest of the days that I have to live on this world. And when Agar does this, and then he says, Lord, wilt thou not withhold from me then just these two things? What things? First, he says, remove from me vanity and lies. What is that? Vanity. Vanity that is emptiness, that is nothingness, that is worthlessness, what is vain. And lies, they are the same thing. They are empty, they are vain, they are worthless. Remove from me vanity and lies. Solomon has spoken also much about vanity. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And that is, congregation, what Solomon has seen that this whole world in the end of his life is full of. And we know that Solomon had the riches and the goods of this world. And what does he say it is? Vanity. He says it is lies. He says it is emptiness. It is worthless, that it can give nothing to us, that it is disappointing the desires and the aspirations of man. And yet, if we are honest, how our heart does not go out after all of this vanity, so that our soul that cleaves unto the dust. By nature, we do not realize this. We realize this, of course, with our mind. But Agur has here an impression of this. Remove from me vanity. Why does he want the Lord to remove from him vanity? Because vanity is to him a burden. Thus, congregation, we may ask ourselves, when we see one of the marks of grace in this Agur, if we also know in this morning this mark of grace, that vanity, the emptiness, the worthlessness that is to be found in this world, is this for us only something that our conscience tells us that we ought not to seek after? Or is the vanity that is lying in our heart, is it a burden to us? And Agur asked the Lord, Lord, remove from me this vanity. Why? Because he cannot do it himself. Because if he could do it himself, he would not need the Lord to do it for him. It is for him a burden. And then certainly he has tried to remove that vanity, that carnality out of his heart. But he is not able. Thus we read here in the words in this prayer of Agur that there is a warfare, that there is a struggle. And that there is a cry, O Lord, help me in the warfare. O Lord, help me in the battle, because there is an enemy. And that enemy is the vanity, that is the carnality, that is not only on the outside of me, but remove it from me. Remove it from my heart. Remove it from the love of my heart. Thus, the Lord gives his church to behold the vanity of this life. And then the desire of that people, that is that they would always, every day, every moment, and sometimes a resolution even, and that they are going to consider every moment the seriousness of life. That they are going to open their mouth and they are going to speak to their children, to their husband, to their wife. That their heart is not going to cleave to all of this vanity and carnality. Then there is a sincere resolution. But what is the practice? Vanity. Thus they fail time and time again. And that old man will not be put away until the body, this body of corruption, is put off, removed far from me, vanity and lies. Why? Because of the proneness of my own heart, because of the knowledge of myself. He was not ignorant of what lay within him. And he says, if there is just a little opportunity, every little opportunity that there is in my life, my heart is attaching itself to it again. And that I am going out after these vain things? Does he then want to go live in a monastery? Does he want then to go live in seclusion? Does he want then to join a colony? No, it will not help. Why not? Because he takes with him into the monastery, he takes with him into seclusion his own heart. Therefore, the Lord Jesus did not ask the Lord, his Father, to take his children out of this world, but he asked them if he would keep them from the evil. We must live in this world. And it is through living in the midst of this world and that the church is learning to their sorrow all the vanity that is lying in their heart. Thus it is through all of these things that the Lord is humbling a man before him. Our second thought, to be fed with food convenient for him. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Well, children, we can well understand why that Agur is not asking the Lord for poverty. Can you understand that? He does not say, Lord, make me poor. No, because we don't have any desire to be poor. And we this day are gathered together and we are asking the Lord not for poverty. No, we are asking the Lord for his blessings. We are asking the Lord that the Lord would still send forth rain, even though we don't deserve it, and sunshine, and give all things to grow, that we still may have food and drink and clothing and shelter. No, we are not asking the Lord for poverty, and no one is desiring the miseries and the inconveniences and the shame and all of the effects and the things that are connected unto poverty. But is this now the purpose of Agur? Because he does not want to experience poverty, that he asks here, give me neither poverty. This is not Agur's purpose. Agur is not asking the Lord not to give him poverty for its own sake. He is not requesting of the Lord that the Lord would hold poverty far away from him because he does not want to have to suffer all of the inconveniences of that poverty. He is not asking as though he is unwilling to place himself under the decisions, to receive, to endure the portion that the Lord places on him. This is not what he does. What does he do? He asks, give me neither poverty. Why? We read that further. Lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Thus, what is Agur afraid of? He is afraid of temptation. And there are many temptations that are connected to poverty. And that are laying on the poor, temptations that are not lying upon us. Do we ever consider that, what that means for a person to have to endure poverty? And then when we think about having to endure an extreme poverty, then This is something that must be experienced in order that we may know those temptations that are connected to such a poverty. Because when hunger is gnawing at us in our own bodies, then indeed it is hard to be honest. And who can know the trial of parents who hear their children crying for food and do not have any food to give unto them? Sometimes we hear that expression, that man is too poor to be honest. Or, the poor have no soul. Why? Because those that are so very, very poor and whose bodies are craving after what is necessary for the body, then they are sometimes resorting to means that are unlawful. We read that also in the Word of God, men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. It is wrong. It is sinful. It ought to be punished. But who of us would despise such a person and when he stole something in order that he may fill the cravings of his body? And then, after he has stolen, then what? Well, then there are more temptations, because then he wants to cover. He wants to deny it. He does not want to suffer the punishment. And therefore, he is taking an oath. And he is lying. And he is taking the name of the Lord in vain. Thus, why is this? That Agur, he says, give me not poverty. That is not because he does not want to endure poverty, but it is because Agur is afraid of himself. And because the knowledge of his own heart, and that makes him afraid that he would not be able to endure the temptations that would come upon him in this state. That he could not endure this without sinning against the Lord. This he fears now more than poverty. Give me neither poverty nor riches. We understand then why he asked that the Lord would not give him poverty. Why is it that he asked the Lord, Lord, give me not riches? Well, then we can read that his reason is very much the same. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Thus, it is not riches in themselves that Agur despises. Riches are the blessings of the Lord. And we may not despise the blessings of the Lord. And it is not all the cares that he shuns, those cares that do go along, those special cares that are attached also to riches in this life. Because there are certain troubles that belong only to those who have riches, and there are certain responsibilities that are lying upon those that have riches and that are not lying upon those who are poor. There are anxieties that are suffered by those who are rich that are not suffered by those who are poor. And there are also those of God's children that have had to endure such a state, a condition in this life. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, these were those who were given many, many blessings, many riches in this world. We ought, congregation, to be content, the Lord says, in that condition that the Lord gives to each one of us in this life. Thus, it is not that Agur despises riches. It is not that he does not want the responsibilities that also are attached unto riches. But it is something else. riches, Agur is again afraid of himself, that he will not be able to handle these riches. He says that others may retain their integrity when they are given all of these blessings. But he said, the lust of my heart after all of these things, oh, I am afraid that the lust of my heart that is greater, that is stronger than my conscience. How many of God's children even have not fallen with riches under temptation? Adam, the first one already, and then in the state of rectitude. All those trees, they were not sufficient. No, he had also to have that one that was forbidden. All the blessings of the Lord were not sufficient. No, he had to be even as God himself. And that was in the state of rectitude, much more the state of the man, a man in his fallen state. Temptation. Temptation is not a light matter when there is a desire to be kept from sin, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? This is the very dangerous temptation of riches, is it not? That we deny the Lord. Do we then say, we deny him in his existence, we deny him in his being, that he is not there, that there is no God? Oh no, not necessarily. No, we come to God's house and we acknowledge him, we bow our knees. But what do we deny? We deny his providence. What do we say? We do not say it with our mouth, no. But we say it in our heart. My power and the might of my hand, my diligence, my ingenuity, my strength has gotten me all of these things. Is not this the great Babylon that I have built? And what do we think? That we can live without the Lord. Not dependent on his providence, flattering ourselves that we are still going to be able to continue in our wealth because we will simply use the same strength and the same wisdom and the same ingenuity in the season that lies before us. Self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency that is often that stepping stone to apostasy, to atheism, Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. The Lord Jesus himself said, how hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of God. The more we receive from him, the less that the Lord is receiving from us. Often as we prosper in the world, so are we impoverished in our soul. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, they are choking the word so that the word is becoming unfruitful. And this is now what Agur understands, that the time of wealth, the time of abundance, is a time of great need. Need for what? Need to be kept. Need to be protected, lest I deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or are we also afraid to be rich? For the fear of temptation and falling into sin, lest I be rich and sin, lest I be poor and sin. That is why the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us sing. Psalter 386. 1, 2, 4, and 5. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To Thee I call, on Thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of 386. Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Convenient portion is not a fixed portion. That is not a portion that is always necessarily the same for everyone. Convenient, that means actually prescribed. So, children, if you go to a doctor, then you will hear this word. He says, I am going to prescribe some medicine. He gives then a prescription. And what is that prescription? That is something that is exactly for you. Then you will see that when you have that prescription in your home, that your own very name is written on that bottle. And then it is not something that you are permitted, that your mother, your father is permitted to give to your brother or to your sister, but it is exactly the amount that the physician says is necessary for you. Prescription. And often that is necessary to give a prescription in a special way to limit man, that he does not take too much of this medicine, because man cannot always be trusted with these things. And therefore we have a pharmacist, and he is recording how much medicine then that a person is taking. Feed me with food convenient, or feed me with food that is prescribed for me. Everyone has a different calling in this life, and there are differences also in the times of our life. When Jacob came over the brook for the first time, then he was all by himself, and then he needed not so much. But when Jacob returns over that brook again, and then he has with him a multitude, and so he needs much more to be prescribed to him. There was a difference between what Solomon needed for all his household and what John the Baptist needed when he was all alone in the desert. Israel gathered manna. Those that gathered much had nothing over. Those that gathered little, they had no lack. And still some had much and some had little. Some actually render this to say, the food of my allowance. So what is allotted to me, what is appointed to me by thee. Not what is agreeable to my flesh, but what is suitable to my circumstances, my condition. Enough, but Lord, not too much, because I cannot trust myself. What did Agur say? Lord, give me the portion that is good for me, that is personal, that is fitting to me. Do we ask that also? Also, children, you ask maybe for the same things that your brother gets, or the same amount that your sister gets. You do not always get it, do you? And why not? Because your mother or your father will give you just the amount that is good for you. And that is not the same amount that they think is good for your brother or for your sister. You say that is not fair. Yes, that is the most fair. When everyone gets exactly what is the best for him. And now who knows what is the best? Your father and your mother. Well, they can make big mistakes too. But That is who you were given to prescribe to you, just what and just how much. And do you know who can never make a mistake about this? That is the Lord. He does not make a mistake about what father he gives you or what mother he gives you. And then just how much that you get from your mother or from your father. And so, Agar is asking this of the Lord, and you may ask this of the Lord too, and you may ask this of your father and mother. Father, mother, give me what's good for me. And thou knowest better than I know what is good for me. And then, what is it that Agar is placing here in the foreground? Then he does not place in the foreground his natural needs, his physical needs, the needs of this life. But he is placing in the foreground his spiritual needs. He says, O Lord, that the temporal things, that all the things of this life, that they may serve my spiritual needs, that it may be good for my soul, that it may not be a temptation for my soul, that it may not be a snare for my soul, whatever that thou givest me in this life. Thus, when we come up unto the house of prayer and we ask for the blessings of the Lord, what is our purpose? Do we ask also the same as Agar? And do we fear the temptations that belong to poverty more than we despise poverty itself and everything connected to poverty? Do we fear the temptations that belong to riches more than we desire the comforts and the honors that belong to riches? O Lord, feed me with food convenient for me. People of the Lord, Agar was more concerned about sin. More concerned about sin than all the earthly conditions in this life. What is this? This is grace in exercise. That was at a time in your life too. In that time of first love, that you could leave all in this world behind. Oh, if you may only have the nearness and the presence of the Lord, and if only you may be kept from iniquity and from sin. There was a time in the life of David. What time was that? A time in the life of David that he dared not to stretch forth his hand against the anointed of the Lord. What time was that? It was a time of persecution. It was a time of affliction. And then there was another time in his life. Time when he put forth his hand to murder and to adultery. And what time was that? That was a time of prosperity. When he may have the kingdom, and when he may receive rest from all of his enemies round about. Feed me with food convenient for me. Spare me, O Lord, from the temptations that I cannot endure. Give me strength in the trial. Suffer me not, O Lord, to sin against thee. The tender heart of Agar. Feed me with food convenient for me. That is also to say, Lord, thou knowest better than I. Young people, when you are young, you think you know, you know your parents know better than you. And there comes a time that you think to know better than your father or mother. That is often a natural stage of life. And one day, that is also going to turn around again when the Lord will give you to know a little bit more of the experience of life. And then you are going to find out how wrong that you were. But that is also so with the people of the Lord. Because there are times when they think to prescribe to the Lord and to tell the Lord what is the best for them, what is good for their soul, and what they ought to have in this life and what they ought not to have in this life. And then there comes a time when the Lord is breaking that people down, that they find out that the Lord knows much better than they do what is good for them. We do not know what is good for us. And our flesh that desires ease, and our flesh that desires prosperity, but that ease and prosperity is not necessarily good for us. But who of us, congregation, believes this? And Paul says, having food and raiment therewith to be content, but who is now content with food and raiment? Congregation, what is now our desire? In this season that is lying before us, we do not know what a single day, what a day may bring forth. But Agur, he says, Lord, just two things. Two things do I require of thee, O Lord, deny me them not before I die. Whatever it is, if thou wilt deny me all other things, oh, do not deny me this. Whatever portion that thou wilt give me in this life, O Lord, keep me from sinning against thee. O congregation, do we also have such a heart as Agur had? Does not always lie in the heart of his people, but they are not strangers of it. O that we also may not be strangers of this desire. Then if all is well, all without will spring forth with life, that it may be to us a burden, that within we feel nothing but death. And people of the Lord, may that which is spiritual indeed serve. May that which is natural indeed serve that which is spiritual, until you may put off what Paul says is this body of sin and death. And what a wonder that that body of sin and death will be put off before that the church receives an abundance that eye hath not seen nor ear heard. Because then they will be able to endure this abundance without iniquity and without sin. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in the wretchedness of our hearts on this prayer day, because we are so often so in the wrong place. And with our requests unto thee, make us ashamed of ourselves. And wilt thou indeed grant us in the season that lies before what is convenient for us, and what thou bringest upon us in this life, that it may not be the beginning of an eternal judgment, but that it may be for the welfare of our souls, and if it is necessary to bring judgments, that it may be but a chastisement for a child. Lord, remember us. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We announce once again that the service this will be this evening at 7 p.m. and not at 2:30 as it is stated in the bulletin. Psalter 32, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. With steadfast courage I design no wrong to speak or do. Thy path of life I choose for mine and walk with purpose true. For help, O God, I cry to Thee, assured that Thou wilt answer me. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 32.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.